O Holy Spirit, by whose breath life rises vibrant out of our death, come to create, renew, inspire, come kindle in our hearts your fire. Amen. Can you remember a time in your life when you felt so terribly alone, so lost in darkness that you couldn't imagine a way out? The best you could do was to pull the blankets over your head and hide. You were convinced that you had hit rock bottom. And perhaps you did. And did you ask yourself, "What now, Lord?" And was the response even more darkness and deafening silence? Several weeks ago, Father Roger asked me when I was preaching again. I replied, "On Pentecost." He sat back and smiled with a bit of a mischievous grin, and he said, "He," meaning Father Michael, "he gave you Pentecost? That's big." Being offered the opportunity to preach on Pentecost is quite an honor. It's a big feast in the church, and for that matter, in all of Christendom. Roger, you were right. It's big. No pressure. For weeks, I've been reading the lessons and studying the commentary and seeing what others have had to say. No big deal. I've been doing this for a long time, and no doubt, I'll figure it out. The only thing, though, that stands out in my mind about this whole preparation process is that I've never been at such a loss for ideas, words, and inspiration as I have been during these last few weeks. I felt so lost and in the dark that all I could think of were reasons to offer Father Michael for not being able to preach today. What I was clear about is that I needed to get over it. I needed to let go, I needed to let God, and I needed to trust that an idea would come and the words would follow, and that I wouldn't claim temporary insanity and have to have that chat with the rector. What I needed and what I needed now was a sermon. Oh, if only I could see the light. Holy Spirit, come out, wherever you are. Can you remember a time in your life when you or someone else said to you, "Really now, get over it and grow up"? A few weeks ago at the Gooden School Chapel, Father Michael asked the kids, "When do you know that you're a grown-up?" My favorite answer was, "When you turn 50. Well, by those standards, I guess I'm grown up, and like all grown-ups, need to trust and remember all of those words of wisdom that have come from parents, mentors, friends, and from those moments of personal realization. Think of them as shards of light that lift us out of darkness, that lift us out of those times of not knowing, that let us know it's okay to pull the blankets down, open our eyes, see the light of day, and not be afraid to get out of bed. Like the apostles, we all have our upper rooms, places to hide, places to imagine what's next or what's not next. I even have a name for my upper room. I call it my head. And on its worst days, it's my drama workshop. Like the apostles in the upper room, there will always be times when we ask, "Why me?" When there seems to be no way out, where the only party in town is our own personal pity party. And there will be those times, too, when we grieve over the imagined loss of Jesus in our lives and the subsequent darkness that always seems to follow. And yes, there will even be those times when we choose to wallow in our own darkness. So here's what I figured out about today, about the Feast of Pentecost. It's big. It's a day to remember that our darkest, loneliest moments of doubt and fear are often of our own making, and that the gift of Pentecost is the gift of light, the gift of God's Spirit that lights up our hearts and minds, the light that shatters our darkness, the light that keeps on giving, the light that never fades, the light that always inspires, the light that always leads, the light that always comforts, the light that always restores, the light that will make us one, the same light that greeted and sent the apostles on their way. Brothers and sisters, darkness will always be broken by light. The very first lines in the scriptures in Genesis are this. First, this. God created the heavens and the earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness of inky blackness. God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke. Light. And light appeared. God saw that light was good and separated light from dark. God named the light day. He named the dark night. It was evening. It was morning. We humans like to complicate things, screw things up. We take pleasure in hiding in the shadows, but we can only hide for so long if we allow ourselves to hear God whispering, come out, wherever you are. The Holy Spirit is the gift of light that illuminates the darkest corners of our upper rooms. It is the gift that we celebrate today. The first act of creation was light, and it would do us well to trust that our evenings will always be followed by morning. It was evening. It was morning. It was dark. It was light. I didn't know. I knew. I was blind. I could see. It would do us well to ask ourselves, what is our relationship to God's gift of light? Do we run toward it or away from it? Does it enhance our vision, or do we allow it to blind us? Do we share the light, or do we hoard the light? When trying to figure this all out, my first instinct was to climb into the pulpit and to read my favorite children's book. I thought, sometimes is less than more. But don't tell that to the preacher. So, allow me to read to you from my favorite children's book, Light, by Jane Zaldin. In the beginning, there was emptiness, like a blank canvas. In a swirl of motion, the Creator made the world. The sun, the moon, and the stars were born. Still waters became rivers and oceans. Land became deep valleys and high mountains, blossoming with lush plants, trees, and fruit. Animals of all shapes, sizes, and colors appeared in the water, on the land, and in the clear blue sky. As a finishing touch, the Creator wanted to paint everything with a special kind of light, so the world would shine with goodness. The light was so powerful, it had to be stored away in a huge jar. But when the Creator started to open the jar, it shook violently, tipped over, cracked, and shattered. Shards of light flew out. The Creator couldn't find the missing pieces alone. Who could help? Birds? Frogs? Beast? Then the Creator had an idea. People were made to find the shards of light and bring them together again. Only then would the world be complete and perfect. People searched far and wide. They spied pieces sparkling on blades of grass, shimmering on sea kale and glistening on insects' wings. They saw the light in animals' loving eyes. They discovered it in each other and sometimes in themselves. Whenever people found the light, they felt contentment, joy, and peace. And when they shared it with one another, there was no more hate, hunger, fear, or war. Many shards are still to be discovered. The world is incomplete and far from perfect. As long as people are searching for the pieces of light, finding them, and putting them back together again, there is hope that the world will be one. So, yes, the Holy Spirit is present. Yes, she's the light that inspires. Yes, she's Pentecost. Yes, she's the church's birthday. Yes, God's Spirit broods like a bird above the watery abyss of our own brokenness. Yes, God spoke light, and light appeared. And yes, everything exposed to the light becomes the light. And yes, Lord, please rain your light upon us so that like the tomatoes in our gardens, we may be nurtured and grow big and strong and each do our bit to make the world be one. And yes, Father Roger was right. It's big. Amen.